very interesting song, because that song says that you're going that way. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man goeth unto the Father except he comes by me. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, the Jews had a problem with Jesus. John chapter 6 and round about verse 63, Jesus said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The Bible says, the disciples says, this is a hard saying, who can bear it? The Bible says, and many of his disciples turned and walked no more with Jesus. But Jesus turned to the 12 and says, will you also go? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go to? You have the words of eternal life, and we are sure and persuaded that thou art the Christ. And so this morning, as we look at being an ambassador, you got to really ask yourself a question. Am I really what I say I am? Ambassador? What's the other word, brother? Thank you. Or an imposter. Because I want to show you this morning that an ambassador is one that is ready to do the will of the Father. In Genesis chapter 1, when God made man, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So he made him a helpmeet. He told them, now be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Everything that's in the garden thou shalt freely take of. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, don't touch it. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. The Bible says God comes in the cool of the day, walking in the midst of the garden. And he says, Adam, where are you? Same questions I want to ask you this morning. If you say that you're a child of the Most High God, that you have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, and you say that you are an ambassador, my question to you this morning is, where are you? God said that not for his benefit, but he said that to see where Adam was. And Adam's reply probably would be just like you and I reply. I heard you walking in the midst of the garden. And I was afraid. And I went and hid myself because I was naked. Oh, that's some good stuff there. Don't miss that. Because when you stand before his judgment seat, will you be clothed or will you be naked? See, in order to be clothed in the sight of God, you have to put on the entire armor of God in order to be clothed. The Bible said, God said, Adam, who told you you were naked? Adam, did you do something? It's that woman you gave me. You know how we can pass the buck. We good at buck passing. No, Adam, did I not command you that you may eat of everything that's in the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, I told you if you ate it, you will surely die. As a result of that, man kicked out of the garden and something entered into the world. And what entered into the world was sin. And I want to show you this morning, as an ambassador, we don't get caught up in sin. In this text here that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he writes these words to remind the believer, to encourage the believer, stay on track in your Christian walk. Now that you are in Christ Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, it is in that watery grave that God does a spiritual operation. He washes away all of your sins. He adds you to the body of Christ, to the church, which he purchased with his own blood. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say that you're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, but Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Peter says that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. So what do I need to believe? I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of a living God. What do I need to do in order to be saved? I need to hit that water that he may wash away all of my sins. So before you become an ambassador, you got to understand what you're becoming. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Paul says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled. I've been reconciled. I don't know about you. Anybody in here reconciled? Well, the rest of y'all going on back to sleep. Because I'm going to tell you, when you have been reconciled to something, boy, don't you take it very precious. I was reconciled to my wife almost 40 years ago. Very precious to me. But I found something more precious than my lovely wife. I have obeyed from the heart the gospel, and I've been reconciled to a Savior that said, everybody will forsake you, but I'll never forsake you, nor will I leave you. So in the midst of everything you suffer, stand, you cry out, Abba, Father, and I'll take care of everything else. Well, I don't know about you. When I stop and think about the responsibility that he's placed upon me as an ambassador, I thought it was hard raising children. Amen, somebody. I thought it was hard living up to the marriage proposal. Amen, somebody. I found out living up to this proposal of being an ambassador, I have no choice in the matter. Because if I had a choice, I should have never went in there. What I'm trying to tell us this morning is that as ambassadors of Christ, we don't get caught up in this. And I'm going to show you this little lesson that I put together. I've been repeating since I put it together. Amen. What good is a message for you if it don't hit home first? But in this text here, the Apostle Paul uses some terminology to help the believer to really understand that you've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. You are no longer you, but you have been set apart for something very special. And what it is the soul keeping of the salvation of mankind. Boy, if the world would ever get a hold of this and really do it like thus saith the Lord, we wouldn't have half the problems we'd have. If we did it even in our households, amen, walls, we wouldn't have half the problems we have in our household. But see, I'm learning that in order for it to work in the household, it's got to work first in you. And when it works in you, guess what? It has no problem doing its job. In this text here, the Apostle Paul would write these words to encourage the believer, to remind the believer that if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creature. His old man has been crucified, has been put to death, and now that he's in Christ, it's not about him, but it's about the life that he lives for Jesus Christ. And I'm learning, church, that when you live for Jesus Christ, boy, put your seatbelt on. Because Satan is going to throw everything he has in his arsenal at you because you said you're going to do what Jesus says. And if you don't believe me, try it. The Bible says in verse number 20 of our text, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul here is pleading to the church at Corinth. And if you know anything about Corinth, it was probably one of the most corrupt, immoral places on the face of the earth outside of where Paul sent Titus. They had many problems. They had so many problems in the church, he had to write them a second letter. Some believe that it might even be a third letter because they had so many problems and they were not addressing half of the problems that they were having. But Paul here reminds those individuals that are part of the body of Christ, now that you understand who you are, God has given you a job to do. Church, each and every one of us have a responsibility. Yeah, you expect me to do my job, huh? You're going to make sure I do. Somebody say amen. You're going to make sure I do my job, huh? Well, I appreciate that because you know what you're doing. You're going to make sure I make heaven my home. Amen. So keep pushing me. Keep y'all quiet. But in this text here, Paul says Christ became sin who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God. And church, and I'm learning that sometimes we take this stuff so lightly that we forget what really transpired in that water. We've been studying this text, this lesson, every Sunday morning and Wednesday night, now that I'm a Christian. And Henry asked me a question. He said, am I getting too deep? I said, no, brother, we're just barely scratching the surface. Because as Christians, we need to understand something. God's going to hold us really accountable for the souls of every person we come in contact with. I don't know about you. I'm having problems just keeping the three people inside of me on track, let alone helping somebody else. But church, somewhere down the line, we have to look at who we really are and ask ourselves a question. Is God really pleased with my service? How many of y'all are baseball fans, basketball fans, football fans? How many of y'all are just fans? Do you take that lightly? Huh? Are you compassionate about your team? I know some like the Padres, some like the Angels, and some don't like the Blues at all. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But do you take that lightly? No, you're serious about that relationship, about that identity. Church, we are fans of the Most High God. And as fans of the Most High God, boy, we ought to be showing the world that there's a better way, and it's in His name. So as ambassadors of Christ, I must learn and you must learn to follow the truth, to keep ourselves free from sin, from the cares of this world, and to remind ourselves that in the midst of everything that goes on, God stands supreme, and He wants you and I to do what He commands us to do. As believers, nothing or no one should ever disturb us in our Christian walk. Nothing should ever cause us to stumble. Why do we stumble so much? That's right. And I want to show you we stumble so much because of just these three little letters. This simple word, S-I-N, self-induced. You ever messed up? And when you messed up and you really asked yourself a question, who did it? Oh, somebody else, huh? Oh, yeah, we good at passing the buck, aren't we? But no, when we stop and we think about self-induced nonsense, many of the times we fall short of the glory of God because we neglect to do the simple things that God asked us to do. The simplest, most simplest thing God asked us to do is so difficult for us to do. He says, first of all, love God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that difficult to do? Somebody say no. Somebody say no. Because it must be difficult to do then. But I want to show us this morning, as ambassadors of Christ, we are not allow the world to dictate to us because we understand who we are and the direction we need to head in our life. See, in the process of everything that we do, we know that in the midst of trials and tribulations, all we have to do is cast our cares upon the Lord, and He takes care of everything else. You ever ask God for something and try to help Him out? Huh? You ever ask Him for something and try to help Him out, and then you wind up messing it all up? Then you come crying to Him, Lord, I'm sorry. No, I'm learning that if you cast your cares upon Him first, God will take care of everything else. 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 5, Peter says, likewise, you youngers, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and He gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And then Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Your adversary. See, I'm not your adversary. Sometimes I might act adversary towards you, but I'm not your adversary. Peter says our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But guess what? When you understand who you are, verse number 9 said, he resists the steadfastness. See, Satan has no say-so over us. As long as we're doing what God said, he resists steadfastness in the faith. knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Boy, I have not found any kind of medication that'll do that. The only medicine I found that can do that is Jesus Christ. And somewhere down the line, church, when you take a dose of Jesus, amen. The world has no say-so over you. But I'm learning, in order for us to really be true ambassadors of Christ, you got to check yourself and ask you, what is the most important thing, or what do you love most in this world? And if it's not G-O-D, not D-O-G, if it's not God, I venture to say you don't know who you're really serving. See, as children of God, as ambassadors of God, we must learn to check our love every single day of our lives and make sure that God reigns supreme in our lives. Not only must we say it, it must be a demonstration. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Church, I'm learning that when you understand as ambassadors of God that we must not get caught up in self-induced nonsense, but keep our minds focused on Jesus Christ, I tell you, life will take on a whole new meaning. One thing I've learned about an ambassador, we must learn not to allow the world to dictate to us. And the world does. Some of you sitting here right now waiting on 12 o'clock. Because you've allowed the world to dictate to you more than God. I missed a couple of y'all, but that's all right. You'll catch it afterwards. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence, so with boldness, we may say, the Lord is my helper. See, an ambassador of Christ is constantly looking at himself and making sure he keeps himself from being caught up in S-I-N, self-induced nonsense. Number one, self means I got to get out of the way in order to serve God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Church, I'm telling you, it is easy to get caught up into you. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the hat to show that it's easy to get caught up in you. But if you're going to really be an ambassador for Christ, you really have to get out of the way and allow God to mold you, to shape you the way he wants to do that. And you know what he wants to mold us into? The image of his dear son. And when we allow him to mold us into the image of his dear son, guess what? We'll go out and we'll help other folks be molded to the image of his dear son. Sin, self-induced nonsense, induce. See, an ambassador of Christ must not allow the world to induce him. Amen. He must not allow the world to be the motivating factor in his everyday life. The wisest man on the face of the earth would say these words to remind us of who we are and what we should be doing on this time side of life. Proverbs chapter 1 and round about verse number 7, the wise man says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the laws of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and a chain around thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, do not consent. Boy, that's some powerful stuff to let us know that as ambassadors of Christ, Satan has no say-so unless we let him have control. And he has no control as long as you walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Satan has no control as long as you keep your mind focused on things above and not on things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As long as the word dwells in us, it helps us to stay focused on this time side of life. You see, as ambassadors of Christ, we must focus. We must refocus, and we must focus and refocus every single day. And within that day, sometimes it's every other minute. I don't know about you. I have some problems. I have some issues. Yes, but I know who can take care of every problem and every issue that I have. And most of the time, the problem and the issue, it is. Because God said he won't put no more on you than you're able to bear. But with an escape, give you a way out. I want to encourage us as ambassadors of Christ, focus, refocus daily, and let nonsense or foolishness, and don't let nonsense or foolishness take over your everyday life. See, we got enough to worry about. I don't know about you. I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about when I stand before Jehovah. He's going to say, Stan, you did all right. Or will it be, I don't know you. And I'm not even worried about that. Because if I do what he commands, Paul says in the day of judgment, I shall be able to stand boldly before his throne and hear the words, well done. I want to encourage us as ambassadors of Christ. What we need to focus on and what we need to refocus on every single day is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world, he gave the very best of heaven, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God demonstrated how much he loved us. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. And if we really believe that we are ambassadors of Christ, boy, we can turn this world upside down. This valley ought to be hopping, not shopping. Amen. It ought to be hopping, and it ought to be hopping with the word of God. But see, ambassadors of Christ must not allow the world to dictate to him. And when we do, we get caught up in this nonsense, nonsense that turns into foolishness if you're not careful. How many of us sitting here this morning? Sometimes the word of God don't even prick our hearts anymore. Amen. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And we come in here and we sit in here Sunday after Sunday after I ain't fussing wonder. I'm just trying to make a point. Somewhere down the line, the believer takes heart to who he is. Boy, if I was an ambassador for the United States, I'd be giving it my all. But since I'm an ambassador for the king, I got to give it my all. That's why when the first day of the week roll around, I have nothing else to do but serve Jesus. Amen. Caesar can wait. And he will wait. Amen. I believe there's a law on the books. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there's a law on the books that on the first day of the week on Sunday, you have the right to miss work and go to church. Oh, y'all didn't know that? Well, I just thought I'd stop by and let you know that. There's a law. They cannot stop you from serving God. So who stops us? Self-induced nonsense. What's that self-induced nonsense? Getting them Benjamins? Amen. But see, the child of God, we must understand as ambassadors, we can't get caught up in this foolishness. We must stay with the gospel. We must stay with the truth. And we must practice the truth every single day of our lives. And in doing that, it helps us to understand who we really are. But see, to the world in which we live in, as they see us as ambassadors of Christ, some folks call that nonsense. How many folks, I walked out my door this morning and I'm just looking at my neighbors and I'm saying, man, I'm going to church and you got this big old $30,000 machine on the back of your truck. You got three or four little old motorcycles and y'all dressed to the heel and y'all going out here to eat dirt. And I'm going to worship my God. Have we missed something in America? Have we missed really what's really important? Now, don't get me wrong. After 12 o'clock, get the bikes and let's go. Amen. But when it comes to serving God, He has to be first and foremost. And the ambassador of Christ must focus and refocus on this every day, or else, let me show you what can happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and round about verse 18, Paul writes these words to remind the believer that we must stay on track. Otherwise, if we don't stay on track, guess what will happen to each and every one of us? We will take for granted our ambassadorship. We will not only take for granted, but we really won't want to do what we're supposed to do because it requires a little more than what I want to do. Paul had to address the church in Corinth about this very same thing. They were so caught up in baptism that they missed the whole point. Some of them said, I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas. Paul said, is Christ divided? Was I baptized for your sake? And so Paul said, it goes on to say in round about verse number 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Ambassadors, your job is to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's the purpose of the gospel? To bring men out of darkness into a marvelous light. For men to obey from the heart the gospel. And that means going into the watery grave that he may wash away their sins. Paul says, God didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. As ambassadors of Christ, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have to beg somebody to get in the water. I've learned that. I've learned that when you do what thus saith the Lord, you don't have to beg people. It'll be just like that eunuch. Here's water. What hinders me that I might not be baptized? And so Paul says, for he sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For preaching of the cross is to them that perish nonsense. Paul said it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. See, that's why the believer don't get caught up in this. You think I do this because I have nothing better to do? No, I'm doing this because I know where I'm headed when he closed these eyes. I'm headed for the glory land way. And guess what? No more pain, no more sorrow, no more sad faces, no more miserable looking folk. Amen. I'm headed for a place where we're going to sing around the throne and praise our God every single day, every single minute. And so Paul said, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I want you to listen to this. You know, because sometimes we're so smart. Amen. Not y'all. But sometimes we're so smart, we become foolish. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? Look at the world we live in. Boy, we're so busy trying to get and gain stuff on this time side of life. Sometimes we don't even take a chance to breathe. And you know, we think just because we go on a mini vacation, we done something. He got us wrapped up, tied up every way but fricasseed, and he's doing that to half of us, not y'all, okay? Verse number 21 says, for after that is the wisdom of God by the world, but the wisdom, the wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Church, I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. Don't let Satan get the upper hand. Church, we are ambassadors for the Most High God. And as ambassadors, our job, our responsibility is to make sure that we spread the gospel to everyone else. As ambassadors of Christ, let us not get caught up in nonsense and foolishness. We have enough to do to just to stay focused on this time side of life. That's why when you miss an inaction, it grieves my spirit. I'll say it again. When you are missing in action, it grieves my spirit. Why? Why does it grieve my spirit? Because I am my brother's keeper. You are my keeper. And I want to encourage us as ambassadors for Christ. I can't do it by myself. That's why he sent you And that's why we come together and work collectively. As ambassadors of Christ, don't get caught up in nonsense or foolishness of this world. I want to remind us and encourage us, stay focused, stay on track. Keep yourself busy in doing the will of the Father. And remember that in the midst of everything that goes on, God is there to guide us. He's there to direct us. He guides us. He directs us through His Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13. He guides us. He directs us through His Word. In Proverbs and Psalms division 119, as I close, in verse number 97, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the day. Through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for thou art ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste." Oh, yes. When I hear the gospel, boy, I get excited. Why? Because it's sweeter than honey. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but it's okay. "How sweet are thy words unto thy taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and is a light unto my path." I want to conclude with you knowing this passage of Scripture in James chapter 4 and verse number 17. As ambassadors of Christ, we understand what sin is a transgression of God's law, and you and I must never get so caught up in it that we forget who we are. James chapter 4 and verse number 17, James says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin." Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart, church. Want to remind us that we have a job to do, and that job is to seek and to save the lost. Our job, our responsibility is to show the world that in the midst of everything that goes on, if you let God direct your life, He'll make life a whole lot better than what it is. Boy, I tell you, I thought life was good when I was making all that money. But you know what? Life is beautiful right now. Got a penny and a nail in my pocket, and you cannot tell me I ain't rich because it's not about that. No, you know what it's about? The love that I have for my family, the love that we share as brothers and sisters in the midst of all of our trials and tribulations. Boy, we can come together, we can praise God, and you know what? The cares of the world seem like they just float away. You know why? Because we're connected, and what connects us is the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope I've said something this morning to encourage your heart. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, if you stand before His judgment seat and you don't make it in, you can't blame nobody but yourself, because He has given us what we need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something that will encourage your heart. If you want to make heaven your home, you got to do something. You got to surrender your will to the will of the Father. You've heard the word this morning, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of His disciples. They're not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you need to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3. The Bible says you need to confess that He's the Son of a living God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, "Confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men," Jesus says, "and I'll deny you before my Father." Then the Bible says you must be buried in water for the remission of your sin. Burial means baptism. Romans chapter 6, we're buried with Him in baptism. Just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in the newness of life. It's in that watery grave. God does a spiritual operation. You went down a sinner and you come up a child of the Most High God. And you know what He does? He gives you this Spirit. He gives you the third person of the Godhead that'll guide you, that'll direct you, so you don't get caught up in self-induced nonsense. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.